Good morning. Greetings again. The precious name of our Lord Jesus. Our returning Savior, returning Messiah. I wasn't here for Brother Paul's first half or so, the message. So I don't know if it'll be a repeat or sound like a broken record, but I can hardly believe that this is Friday morning. At the beginning of the week, I told you that we would barely scratch the surface. Today, I want to tell you, I think we're just about to begin to scratch. And that makes it very difficult to know just how to conclude a week of a series of messages. I want to take this opportunity to thank each one of you for being here. I have to say you have been a very attentive and easy group to minister to. Praise God. You have shown interest in the things of God. God bless you for it. Being that this is my last session, I also want to express my gratitude to Brother Mark, principals, matrons, the cooks, when we all agree that they've done an excellent job. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this week here. This morning we want to conclude this series then by looking at the return of Christ from the aspect of Him coming to reward His own. The title of the message is, He Comes Quickly and with Reward. But you know that the reward will only be for those who remain true and faithful. To those who will overcome again and again and again. Not a one time overcoming something, but overcoming unto the end. We stand to our feet. Let's sing that chorus one more time, and then we'll have a word of prayer.
Just any day now, our Lord is coming.
Pause here before you this morning. And Lord, the anticipation is there. One day, perhaps not too far away, we will see you. And Father, what an awesome thought to think that we will see you face to face. We shall see you. We shall see you as you are, and we shall live. Thank you, Lord. We do want to commit this hour to you and ask you again that by your Spirit you would have full control. Father, I pray that you would have full control with this vessel. You would control my tongue, my thoughts, my everything, so that I can glorify you as I stand here and speak to these dear young people one last time. Father, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would have full control of each and every young person. Father, you see us as we are. There's no facade that's big enough to hide the reality of who we are. We can't fool you. I just pray that by your Spirit you would minister as you see our need. Father, I'm asking you, I'm begging you to work way beyond anything I say. And I thank you this morning that you are not limited to what man says. And I trust you for that. I'm depending on you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. He comes quickly. Amen. And with a reward. He comes quickly. 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 And if we're ready, we'll get a reward. You know, this week of Bible school, how many of you feel like you need a reward for being here? Raise your hand if you feel like you need a reward for being here. No one? How much less? Brothers and sisters, how much less when Christ returns? Do we deserve it? Do we deserve that the Messiah would come back and reward us? Is it any wonder that in Revelations 4, I think it is, 24 elders, when they fell down, they took their crowns and they cast them down. Is it any wonder? If today, honestly, you say you don't need a reward for being at a week of Bible school, I think it's my persuasion that when Christ rewards us, we'll really sense our unworthiness of it. But that doesn't change the fact of His coming and coming with reward. I want to read a few scriptures here. We're going to go fast. Actually, I want to make one comment before we get into the scriptures. I read Matthew 24 yesterday, the first number of verses. And I know I've shared it in person throughout the week with a number of young people here in our conversation. But as we consider the events that we talked about yesterday that will precede the coming of Christ, you know what? One of the greatest signs, one of the greatest events that's taking place in our day is. We read there, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And that's happening. left, right, center, any which way you look, it's happening. So instead of looking for big events happening maybe out in the Middle East somewhere, let's just be warned by what's happening in some of our congregations. And I appreciated the definition that Brother John gave yesterday to the word iniquity. Because so many in our day, they continue on in the name of Christ. But they have their own agenda, as it appears. Their motives are not pure. And you say, why would you say that? I'll tell you this much why. Because some of them are uttering hateful thoughts towards other believers. You want a sign of His coming? You want a sign of living in the last days? We don't need to look very far. There shall be a great falling away. But these things must come to pass. So this morning, we want to encourage us again to be ready, to remain steadfast, to overcome again and again and again until He does come. Whether that's personally for you or I, our life is over, our days are numbered, or whether it's the return of Christ for His bride. Let's be ready. Matthew 24, reading two verses there, verses 42 and 43. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Quickly! But he'll have the rewards with him. In Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 33, well, let's read verse 32 also. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. In other words, not being alert, spiritually speaking. Not waking, not watching. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Watch. Again, if I could just emphasize this one more time here this morning, is the importance is to, for us to watch is much greater than trying to figure out all the details. Of much greater importance. Luke 12, just one verse here, I think. These are parallel scriptures. Yeah, I'll just read the one, verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And I don't know if I've commented on that yet this week or not, but you know, the Son of Man cometh in an hour that ye think not. And I have to think of all the predictions that have been made over the years. And everyone, so many people, they fall for these predictions. And what happens? This last time, many of them, they sold houses and lands and gave their money to this certain ministry, and they hopped on the buses with them, and they were waiting for the return of Christ. But the Bible tells me in an hour that you think not. In an hour when the majority of the world is not going to be expecting it. James says, in James 5, verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Now, if we could picture where we are on the timeline chart, from Christ's first coming to His second coming, and if we could picture it, that He's literally standing outside at the door, ready to open the door, ready to come in. What would that do? The only thing we don't know is when He'll actually turn the doorknob and open the door. What kind of anticipation would there be in our hearts? And I think God would have us look at it that way. I think God would have us watch and pray. God would have us anticipate, visualize, mentally thinking that He is standing at the door, and it's just a matter of when He decides to turn that doorknob and open that door and come for His bride. Now we can use that scripture for salvation. Stands at the door and He knocks, But let's look at it in light of Christ's return. It appears to me whatever Jesus taught about His return, the point of His message was that He is coming suddenly. It's throughout the Scriptures. Matthew 24, not even sure what verse it is, maybe 27 or something like that. Yes, 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's whatever Jesus taught, you get this idea, it will be sudden. We get this idea that it will be unexpected. It will be surprising to the majority of the people. Therefore, behooves us as believers to be ready for His return. So when Christ comes and He comes with reward, that spells payday. Now how many of you are in the workforce? Do you get a paycheck? Yeah. How would you like to work and work and work and get no pay? No. So we work, we sweat, we toil, but at the end of the week or bi-weekly or however the system works where you work, at the end of that period, we anticipate getting a paycheck for the work that we have done. Well, I wonder if these rewards that Christ has for us aren't a little bit of an incentive along that way, He promised us that life isn't going to be easy. He promised us that we will be hated, that we will be despised, that we will be rejected, we will be persecuted. All those things He told us beforehand. But then it's like that reward, it's not bribery, it's an incentive. An incentive to be faithful. An incentive to stay true. Not that we deserve it. We didn't work for it. So when Christ returns, every person Okay, and I'm going to use this as an all-inclusive statement. Every person will receive his or her reward. Believer or unbeliever. There's a reward, quote-unquote reward, a pay, if you will, coming to both camps. Revelation 22:12 says, and this is where I took the title from, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." You know, in the workforce, as an employer, they don't pay all the employees the same wage, do they? Wages depended upon their ability, their performance. You know, other criteria could be taken into consideration, but primarily, you know, someone that's not dependable, someone that just shows no interest in the work, you're not going to pay him $20 an hour. Well, when Christ comes with reward, He is going to reward us according. According to our work. So in other words, brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity to kind of set the stage. We have the opportunity to kind of set our own pay, if you will. The phrase, "I come quickly," is found 6 times in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 2 verse 5, in relation to the church of Ephesus. Revelation 2:16, in relation to the church at Pergamos. Revelation 3:11, the church of Philadelphia. And then the last 3 times we find that statement in the closing chapter of the New Testament. I come quickly. And that is the Revelations 22, verse 7, 12, and 20. Your reward will be based on your devotion, your service for the Master. And I'm not here this morning to debate the different rewards, and people have their own thoughts and ideas, and even talking about different levels in the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, I'm not here to debate that. Let it be however it is my thought, my opinion. All I know, that if I'm faithful, I'll be rewarded. What more matters? You know, people ask the question, they say, how can a loving God send someone to hell? Ever heard that? Many times, haven't we? And maybe at one point in time we asked it ourselves. It's very possible. But you know, it's not a loving God sending people lovingly into hell. When Christ comes back, He will simply pay each one according to the choices that he or she has made throughout life. We determine, we choose. And He'll just simply honor our choices. You, myself, all of us, today, we are choosing our pay, our reward. And Christ will simply give us a paycheck according to our works, when He comes back. Payday is coming. Payday is coming. Oh, by the way, today's Friday. Friday's a typical payday, isn't it? We should be excited today. No, payday is coming. Let me ask you again. Does it excites you to think of the return of Christ? Does it excite you? The Apostle Paul writes, 2 Timothy 4 verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that means the living, and the dead, at His appearing and His kingdom. Did you catch that? He shall judge the quick and the dead. The Apostle Paul was very confident of his reward. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And because of it, as a result of it, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And I love this last phrase. And not to me only, but unto all them also, that what? Love His appearing. Paul was very confident of it. Do you love the thought of His appearing? Paul says, if that's you and I, then we're right in there with the in his camp. Then he's saying we can be just as confident as he is confident. Do you love the thought of His appearing this morning? Are you anticipating a crown of righteousness as your reward? A crown of righteousness. Maybe life is tough. Maybe you've identified with the life of Jonathan in numerous ways. Let me ask you, will the fight of faith be worth it? In other words, will it pay off? Will it pay off? I agree. There will not be a single regret on that day. No one will be sorry that they persevered. No one. The only ones that will have regret are the ones that gave up. They will be terribly sorry. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 tells us, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And the context is believers. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We could go back to 1 Corinthians 3 and talk about that foundation and how people were instructed, exhorted, warned not to build carelessly on that foundation which was once laid, which is Jesus Christ. Because when Christ does come, we will appear before the judgment seat. And He will judge us. It says whether it be good or bad. Romans 14:10 says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? This is in the whole context of keeping, you know, special holidays or not keeping them, or eating meat or not eating meat. And finally he says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us. But then again, we have a clear picture that we will be rewarded according to our works. Works? Oh, we don't like works in our day. I'm set free. Works don't matter. It's what's in the heart that counts. Well, remember what Brother Dale said? You can't separate the heart from what's on the outside.
Everything's part of the body. I appreciated that illustration. Paul says, yes, there in Ephesians, yes, we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace, we're through faith. But then what does he say in the next verse that hardly ever gets quoted by your typical evangelical person? On to good works! Wouldn't it be interesting if we could get employed somewhere and it didn't matter whether we worked or not, we just got paid anyway? What a foolish employer, right? But somehow we expect God to be that foolish. And yea, even much more foolish than that. So let's not fall for that. What is the judgment seat of Christ? Well, for the believer, this is something exciting to look forward to. This is a time where Christ will personally reward us for our service rendered unto Him. That's exciting. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Isn't it beautiful that the believer has been able to send his sin on before him? Can be judged before we ever stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So when the believer stands before the judgment seat of Christ, he's not standing there to have all his past sin judged. Rather, it'll be our works that will be judged. This is my persuasion. So if our sins have been gone on before us, sent on ahead of us, we can now then stand before the judgment seat of Christ face to face with our Savior and look at Him as the one that's dealing out the rewards to everyone. Behold, I come quickly. I come quickly. Let's turn to Matthew 25. Reading 31 through 46. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye took me in. Naked, and clothed me. Sorry. Ye came unto me in prison there. And then shall the righteous answer him, see this? No pay. Not payworthy at all. Lord, when saw we thee an hungered? And fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Totally feeling like we're not worthy. And then the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. But then, there's the other side. He shall say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire. Not prepared for them, prepared for the devil and his angels.
Now think about it. If God made something that was intended for the devil and his angels, not man. Now man is thrown in there with him. Was never intended for man. Never. Hell was not made for people. It was made for the devil and his angels. It tells me that God made something that is much greater, much more intense than if He would have made something for man. But because man refuses Him, because man believes the lie, because man continues to live for himself and reject the Savior, well, I guess I have no option but to throw them in that very same pit. But it was not intended for man. It was built, designed for the devil and his angels. And then he goes on through the list. I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was sick, you didn't visit me. All those things. But the unrighteous, they will say, Lord, when did we not? So opposite. So opposite. We're so familiar with this account. A clear picture of Christ as the righteous judge separating the righteous from the unrighteous, the saved from the unsaved, the believing from the unbelieving, separating. One last time. The believing, the righteous ones, those that are saved through the blood of the Lamb, entered the kingdom that God had prepared for mankind. That's what God made for man. Remember? Hell was not made for man. That was made for the devil and his angels. What God made for man was the kingdom of God. His kingdom. He wanted all people to inherit His kingdom. See the difference of what God had in mind? But man chooses to take his part with the devil. And that is his reward. It's the choices he makes. It's not a loving God lovingly sending them to a hell. He's just simply honoring their choices. And sending them to a place that He never intended for man. We can't begin to grasp how awful that will be. Just a little bit of thoughts here on the word judgment seat. The literal Greek term is the term bima. And it's simply a description of a place of judgment. Literally, it is a raised platform, kind of like this, with steps. And it's a place where a figure of authority would take his place, his seat. In the book of Acts 18, Paul is there, and he's being tried, and you can read it for yourself. Acts 18, verses 12 through 17. But he's taken before the judgment seat there. And his answers angered the council, and they get up off of the judgment seat, and they beat him in front of the judgment seat. That's what judgment seat is. It's a place, a respectable place, a place of honor. A place that resembles authority. So when we as believers are before the judgment seat of Christ, we are gathering before the seat of authority, which Christ sits upon. And He will reward everyone according to His work. He'll be just His judgments will be righteous. And again, the judgment seat of Christ is not something that we need to fear. Romans 8 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Our sins have gone on before us. The blood of the Lamb has been applied. And it says there, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:5 we read, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. And I think some of those hidden things that it's talking about there could be motives. I believe that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the motives of our works will be judged. Some of those hidden things, I think, could be our motives. And will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man, listen to this, and then shall every man have praise of God. Can you imagine that? The God of Israel, the Holy God of Israel, praising you? Behold, He cometh quickly with reward. God Himself praising you. That's awesome. You know, Christianity is the only camp that I know of where everybody wins and nobody loses. No losers in Christianity. True Christianity. We say it that way. Not all professed Christianity, but true Christianity. We will all receive praise of God. We will all receive our reward from Christ Himself. Amazing. Now imagine with me the thought of standing face to face with Jesus and having Him said, according to Matthew 25 here, I'll just personalize it a little bit. The kingdom of God's right there. I mean, you're standing right there, and He says, come daughter, come son, this is for you. Well done. Well done. This is for being faithful. Well done. This is for you. Enter in. Can you fathom it? That alone is enough to make me want to cry. The God of heaven extending His hand to me, to you. Enter in. Despite all our failures in the Christian life, brothers, as a thanks for your faithfulness, here, enjoy that which I prepared for you from the beginning of the world. What a reward! What a reward! And a personal one, isn't it? We will all stand before God. I don't know how it'll all pan out, but I don't picture God just lumping us all together in one big pot and say, poof, you know, enter in. I think it's going to be very, very personal. You know, it's not only personal in the way of receiving our reward, it's also personal in the way that each one of us will give an account to God. That also won't be a group effort. It'll be very personal. It'll be me and God, Christ. And it'll be you and Christ. Romans 14, verses 10 through 12.
But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we didn't read verses 11 and 12 before. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Everyone shall give account of himself to God. So again, I want to encourage you today to live wholly and solely for the Lord Jesus. With this thought in mind, I will give an account. You know, He's given you talents. Use them to glorify Him. And as a result, He will reward you. Now, our motive is not the reward. Our motive is His glory. The reward is like a byproduct. You know, you have the cause and you have the effect. So be a good steward of that which God has entrusted you with. Behold, He comes quickly, and His reward is with Him. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. You know, Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the only thing really that God is looking for in you and I. With those things that He's entrusted us with, be faithful. Be faithful. Not just specific talents and gifts that we have, but how about taking the whole life of Christ, the substitution for our sins, taking that whole thing and doing it, as Paul says, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Oh, brothers and sisters, it will give great rewards. We do this. You know, 1 Corinthians 9, not going to turn there. Paul gives this picture of the Christian life today, where we find ourselves today, and he paralyzes it with a race. Today, you young people, we are in a race. Now, in a physical race, as Paul even illustrates there, there's but one winner. But in the Christian life, if we run with purpose, with vision, with clear direction, not just one wins, we all win. But I want to encourage you, as a young person today, run as though if there was only one winner. Run as if there's only one chance for one winner. Run that way. That'll keep us from falling asleep. That'll keep us from getting lazy. Run as if you only have one chance to win the prize. And really, you only have one chance. It's this life that you're living right now. But God be thanked, we all have that chance. But run as though there will only be one winner. Run to win. Don't play around. Don't let off. Don't ease off. Give it your all. He is worthy. You know, when Paul there in that illustration says that he keeps his body in subjection, you know what that literally means in the Greek? It literally means that he beats himself black and blue. That's how much he wants to win the prize. Not an earthly, not a corruptible one, an incorruptible one. He says, it doesn't matter what it costs me. Let my body be bruised. And it was bruised again and again and again, wasn't it? But he says, it's worth it.
Because I'm running to gain an incorruptible crown. This morning I say unto you, so run. So run. Did you know that the Bible talks about five crowns? Five crowns. You have the incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9:25. It'll be given to everyone that runs faithfully. You have the crown of righteousness. That's to all who love His appearing. We read that, didn't we? You have the crown of rejoicing, which is the soul winner's crown. You have the crown of glory. And in the context of 1 Peter, that's the crown for those who are watching over your souls, your pastors, teachers. And then there's the crown of life. Crown of life, which is for the Christian martyrs, the persecuted ones. Now let me ask you, do you want one crown or do you want all five? Which one of the crowns do you not want? I think if we have a choice, we would say, I want every one of them. Now, I want to leave you with this thought in regards to the crowns. These five crowns are available to us as a reward for serving Him. In exchange for the crown of thorns that He wore. What a comparison. Can we compare the two? Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown. Dear young people, brothers and sisters, live your life unashamedly for Christ so that in that day when you stand before Him, He won't be ashamed of you and you won't be ashamed of Him. As John, the old aged apostle, writes in 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in Him. When He shall appear, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before His coming. The reward will be worth it. It'll be worth way more than anything that we endure upon this earth. It will be sweet. Some of you got something sweet. It will be sweet. It'll all be worth it. And I'm going to put the bag out here. Those that didn't get anything can help themselves. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.